CliffCentral.com.
You made it to another Thursday. Congratulations. You have to take the small victories. And today is one. You made it this far. Well, bloody done. The 2nd of July. Oh, we're going to pat ourselves on the back every day until we've regained some semblance of order in our lives, right?
Yes.
It'll be a long time. Sia was saying he won't even use the terminology hindsight is 2020 vision because as soon as this year is over, he wants to put it in a box and bury it and never, ever think back on it.
How do you like that?
Be gone, wicked Satan year.
Be done. What sort of vision do we need about this year?
You know,
what do we need?
Let me tell you something. Like, this year has been so monumentally different to every other year that if the people who claim that they have powers to predict and to prophesy and all the rest of it, if they didn't say anything leading up to 2020, yeah, we can just write them off as bullshitters of the highest order, right?
Well, maybe the Mayans meant 2020.
Maybe, dude, but if they did, they should have been more explicit because it's kind of a different year to the rest of the years.
Yes.
It's been a pretty shitty year by comparison with the others. So I want to know who these people are who didn't predict it and didn't warn us about this because they could have done a better job of it, honestly.
At this point, I really don't care what, you know, how my lover will come into my life in the next month.
Please.
Or
I want to meet the psychic.
I'll fight with at the office. I want to know if I will have a disaster of a year.
Exactly. Thank you. That's all we need is just like warn us of the really shit things coming, like COVID-19. You know, that would be a really big positive contribution to humankind. So if there is one psychic who lucked out and was busy throwing shit at a screen and something stuck, and they're like, 2020 is going to be a bad year, then that is the only one left with any credibility. Can we just consign the rest of them to the rubbish heap of history where they belong? Please. It's about time. Pinky's here, Bulelo's here, and Sia is here, along with Fundo running things. So we're trying out, Mbulelo's obviously only been on the show once or twice before this, so really Thursdays are going to be very difficult for him. He doesn't know what he's doing. But he's here this morning. It's great news. So first things, can we just say that the first and the second of the month are horrible, not just for the obvious reasons, but because of those goddamn debit orders. Yes. I was watching them come off my account yesterday, and I was thinking, how... You know, there are people who don't know what's attached to their bank account, right? There are people who've signed all kinds of credit agreements, and I look at mine and I get pissed off, and I check my bank statement every month. Mm-hmm. I think it's the least anybody could do if you have a bank if you have a bank account at all, even if there's nothing going on in there. You need to know what other people are taking out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think to myself, what a horrible world when debit orders come off. I just think, oh, this is so shitty. And it's shitty for me. It can only be shitty for other people, too. There's no... Even those things that you do enjoy in your life that you're paying for, like maybe you've got rent or you've got... You know, you live in a house that gives you joy. Or, you know, you check out your account with, let's say, a clothing retailer and you're someone who likes shoes. It doesn't feel good when those debit orders come off, man.
Would you consider a partner as like a debit order if they weren't contributing? Let's say you were living together.
Yeah, I mean, imagine maintenance if you're not living together. You don't like each other anymore, but you have a child.
Oh, that's a different ball game.
Now you have to pay your... That's a horrible thing to look at.
My modus operandi is to not even look at my bank balance from the 25th to about the 2nd. Because I know that money is not mine.
Sure.
It's coming in, it's great, but then there'll be something. There's the car, there's the rent, there's the insurance, there's medical aid. It's not mine.
How are the blessees doing right now?
It's a tough market.
I can comment on that.
You can comment.
I'm joking.
Come on, Pinky.
just hold on.
Defend
yourself. I just want to tell you the real term. Blesses, so 2008.
Okay.
Now we call them abotsedi.
Abotsedi. What does
abotsedi.
That mean?
Yeah, they're the people that provide the lifestyle.
Oh,
abotsedi. Okay.
Abotsedi. Yeah. So yeah. these people,
ew.
But those are the blessers, right? The blessees are the ones who live off of that lifestyle being provided, but they have to put in some effort to get it. Sometimes with some very unsavory, and it's usually the men are usually the blessers, and then the blessees are girls. Although I've heard it the other way around as well.
Oh yeah. Yes,
I know a female blesser.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, the floor is yours, Pinky.
Yes, go on. So, Pinky, tell us: do you know how these people in tough economic times are coping?
Look, I'd like to think that if you have a real blesser, then you're still fine. Life hasn't changed.
Probably.
If there's any problems, then he's not a blesser. If there are problems, then he's not a blesser.
What if his tender ran dry during the lockdown?
Not a blesser.
Not a blesser?
No.
Oh.
What's a blesser then in your books?
Depending on tenders, and if the government was to take them away from you and you can't sustain your blessees, then you're not a blesser. You just go back to your wife.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
To use a Hugh Hefner example, Hugh Hefner always had the number one girlfriend.
Yes.
And then there was always like the other side girlfriends.
Yes.
So like the number one girlfriend, the Holly Madison.
The bottom bitch.
In
sex terms, that's what you would call her. The pimp. The pimp has a bottom bitch, and then he has the other girls who listen to the bottom bitch.
The bottom bitch, the Holly Madison, she's still sorted in these times.
Yeah.
Is that what you... Oh, okay.
But the others may fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
What is happening to that guy? I think I saw him make a reappearance yesterday. I don't know if he's a blesser, but God bless him anyway, because he's made me laugh a lot during lockdown. You know the guy... Tough times don't last.
Yes.
Tough people do. That guy.
Have you seen that he's been hired by a brand now? He's doing commercials.
Oh, God, no. Which brand?
He was doing some stuff with the Kiffness as well.
Oh, that's great.
He did some cool stuff. People love him. In the States, he's gotten such a massive response.
Oh, no. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was like the time Vernon Kukumur became like a worldwide sensation. I'm like, this is not what South Africa is about, please.
I know, and you get embarrassed, but actually those people probably are more, they're more ingrained in the conscience of, or the consciousness of other nations when it comes to thinking about South Africa than we think, and that we might like. Tough times don't last.
That guy.
I like that guy. I want him on the show, Sia. Can we not get him on?
Mr. Demi. I don't even know what his real name is. Sure.
Let's talk to him. I like him.
You know what I admire about him? Is very few people are that comfortable in their own skin.
Yeah.
Like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm going with it.
Right.
A lot of people are out here trying to pretend to be something. He's like, I'm going to go with it.
I really am trying to make a note. I don't even know what to say. Mr. Tough Times?
Yeah. Mr. Tough Times.
Demi guy?
Yeah, that's Demi the one.
The debit orders are not the worst thing at the end of the month.
What is?
It is astrologers, right? Is Sagittarians are just so blah, blah, blah. Insert here. Like, is there anything worse on this planet? Is there anything worse than somebody telling me the position of the moon and the waves crashing in the sea are affecting my personality? What are we doing?
Bulelo, some people's lives, they don't make a decision in the morning until they've consulted with their astrology chart.
I mean, what next? Should we be burning witches still? What are we doing here, guys?
There are places in the world where they do still burn witches.
That's true.
What do you know? Don't mock it.
That's true. But my grandmother was Venda. I am.
Yeah, exactly. You guys are famous for the number of witches that you have. In fact... Limpopo is where they actually have lanes in the air, especially designated for witches on their brooms.
I'm triggered, but I'll try not cry.
Yeah.
Just don't argue.
So, just okay, while we're talking about money, Pinky had an interaction with someone this week, which just proves how desperate people are for money. And this guy chose the wrong girl when he chose to do this to Pinky. Just listen to this quickly. You cannot believe the nerve of some people.
I hope he's listening. Hey?
Yeah, go
I
really on. Hope Embarrass this guy.
So a while back, my sister sends me a message that, hey, Pinky, there's this doctor who already when I read the doctor, I was like, I don't know which type of doctor. Doctor who would like to meet with you and discuss your legal career and what's your way forward. So I wasn't keen, you know, because I'd like to think that I don't know what my way forward is, and I'm okay with that right now. So I don't need someone else to come feed me information that I don't need right now.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, he now gets in touch with me. My sister gave him my number, and he gets in touch. And he's like, Pinky, let's just meet for a quick 1 hour to discuss this and that. I have a legal background. I have this kind of background. I'm like, oh, okay, we can do that. So one, I had to leave the comfort of my place. So I left home.
Oh, he wanted an in-person meeting?
Yes. So I left home, went to the nearest shopping complex, and I met him there. So I was there early, and I went to go buy a cold drink for myself and for him. And I waited, and he got there. And, oh my goodness, it was a waste of my time. I was literally looking around, and he still just kept on going.
So was your sister was trying to do you a favor here?
Look, at this point, I don't really know. So the other thing is that he has an interest
Could be a business contact or something, but, oh, he has an interest in your sister.
Yes. So he's trying to get into my sister's pants.
Oh.
So I thought maybe, okay, this is an opportunity for me to, you know, check him out to avoid the Xhosa guy situation again. So I was like, you know what? I guess that's the upside of all of this. And then after the hour meet, I get home and I get an SMS. Hi, Pinky. Thank you for consulting with Dr. Hoo. Your invoice is 600 rand.
No.
The audacity.
He wanted to charge you 600 rand for meeting with him.
Yes.
Yes.
He wanted to charge me 600 rand. So I sent him a screenshot of that. I sent it to my sister first, and she was just shocked. She's like, you know what? Thank God that this happened, because now there's no need for me to even entertain him any further.
Yeah.
So I sent him the screenshot, and I'm like, what's happening here? And he sends me a long paragraph about how he charges for his time, this and that.
Oh, my God. What a cheek.
Oh, what nonsense.
Wow.
He charged you money.
So I just told him, like, listen here, I should be the one charging you for wasting my time, and I want a refund for the coding that I got you. So how about you pay me first, and then...
I want my 14 rand 50.
What a cheek. I can't believe the guy tried to charge you money for that.
Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable.
No freaking ways.
Incredible.
You know, the Afrikaans people say, no scum, eh?
Oh, no scum at all. I mean, one, you're trying to get into my sister's pants, and then you're trying to get 600 rand from my little sister?
No, that's...
During the pandemic?
I mean, to invoice you. That's essentially what he's doing, is invoicing you for his time. Yes. This guy must be a shit lawyer, though. Because he didn't even see you coming.
He's not making money.
So I just saved that chat. I was like, just in case anything happens in the future, I need to save this.
Yeah, because
you need to remind yourself.
This is the problem. Like, when you meet a lawyer, you never know whether they're a good lawyer or a horrible lawyer. And trust me, Pinky can vouch for this. She's met lots of lawyers, and I have too. I studied that shit, that witchcraft. I'll tell you, talking about the real witchcraft. That's the stuff the people in Limpopo don't even know, is that the real witchcraft is the law.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, by a lawyer.
Mm. Yep.
Hey, look, talking about shame, you know, it's a good thing in practice and in theory, but I always used to feel a little schnorrer about people who do this, who go to the supermarket with the pamphlets already open, and they know what specials are there, and they're like, no, and they'll complain up until they find the lowest or cheapest thing.
Yeah, but those people are smart now.
I know, because I became that person yesterday.
Oh, you did? Did you go and look for... You went specials hunting, huh?
Look, now you have to save a dollar, save a rand, wherever you want to.
Yes.
And I was talking to my mother. She was so proud, but I went to my local grocery store with their with their list of specials. I was buying, like, you know, 5 cans of things that I know I won't need right now, but I'm like, you know, it's a special.
So yeah, no shame.
It doesn't matter anymore.
There's no shame in any of that. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
I did feel shame, though, when I was at the till and a line started forming behind me. Because I was now stopping the cashier and I was like, did you make sure that you got this? And here's this coupon. And did you get this discount? And I'm like, you know, I know. You've become a bargain hunter. There were easily 3 people behind me. And I thought, you know what? My bank accounts will be thankful after this. But right now, you guys will all have to wait.
Amen.
Have you guys started being...
Self-preservation. You cannot underestimate the value of that right now. Don't feel bad about it.
Yeah. Have you started being frugal now?
Of course. Tough times never last.
Tough times never last. Only tough people do.
That's the guy.
Because I still have some friends who say, screw it, something will work out. And for now, I'm just going to enjoy life.
Really?
And I think, what's a French term?
Laissez-faire, yeah. That might be the right term. I'm not sure what you're looking for here.
No, what's a let and let? No, live and let live one.
That's in English.
I'll sit on the Googler Schmoogler. I'll find it.
All right. But I think maybe Mbulelo's right about laissez-faire. Anyway, so, you know, if you are out there and you're spending any money, just be very careful. There's some serious sharks out in these dangerous, choppy waters.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Hey, we've spoken about this so many times, but there are a lot of people whose business at the moment is just sending nudes. That's their whole business. They're charging money for it. They've got, what's that thing called, that site again that we spoke about at the beginning of the
OnlyFans.
That's it. People are going crazy there. They're spending money looking at people they've always wanted to see naked, and they're also going on there to be naked for the other people. Yes.
And that really appeals to my Marxist nature, because then you really own the means of production. And that's wonderful to me.
It may appeal to your Marxist nature, but it also is a great compliment to capitalism.
Listen, this is the crossroads.
Supply and demand. The crossroads of Marxism and capitalism is porn. You're right.
It's wonderful. Long live.
But I want to know one thing. Is there like an age, a maximum age? And like if you reach this age, you just don't send nudes anymore. Or 60-year-olds.
You mean
send
in your personal life?
Yes.
In your personal life, yeah. What do you mean? There's an upper limit to when you're too old to send nudes? Absolutely, Mbulelo. What do you mean?
No, but why? People that are 70 still engage in coitus. Yeah, engage.
So you don't have I think there's something a little undignified about someone in their 50s or 60s or even their 40s, frankly, sending nudes.
30s.
To who?
You think they're 30s, huh?
Yeah.
You think that's
no,
the cutoff?
Come on.
Jesus.
Really? What if I'm in my 50s and I'm still in the dating circle?
Yeah.
So I can't farming out nudes?
No, it's tricky.
What if you're Brad Pitt or Idris Elba? Uh-uh. They still are human beings that look like anybody would want to see them in any condition.
Possibly. Oh. I wouldn't be so sure anymore, huh?
So
Are
maybe
you taking nudes? You sound
I
like
don't,
you.
Not lately, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I've never taken nudes. Not like that.
In Sia's office.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was naked in Sia's office, but
many
I didn't
times,
take a photo of it.
Many, many times.
Yeah, yeah. No, completely. Kalipona, as they would say in Bloemfontein.
Okay, let's just stop that. Stop that right now.
Oh, man. Listen, let's put all that behavior on hold. You're not going to get any action at the moment anyway, unless you're willing to break the law and put yourself in the danger of getting COVID. So just put away all that crazy behavior. Mind you, you know what, Pinky? Actually, thinking about it, maybe nudes are safer than actually meeting the people right now.
You know? True.
Maybe this is a good time to actually indulge in that sort of thing because it's at a distance.
Look, the words of Emma Sadler just ring true in my head whenever I think of that.
Yeah.
Go, yeah, okay. They might come back and haunt me, so I should make them look as good as possible.
Those were her words? I thought she said never put your face in the nude. Like, you can have a nude picture, but never make it a facial, you know, one where your whole face is showing.
Well, she says, you know what, they might come back to haunt you, so if it does come back to haunt
me.
Better
make sure they're great.
Yeah, make sure they're just good quality.
Do a couple of push-ups, squats beforehand.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Use a nice background.
Yes. Yes, make it. Put some effort in. Put some effort in. And aren't you going to go and have a nude or two taken for your portrait that you're putting up? We got such funny emails from people yesterday on the WhatsApp line. And by the way, I'm sorry I didn't have the WhatsApp line. We had huge technical difficulties yesterday with a power failure at my house and everything else. So we were trying to cobble together a show. It was by no means our finest hour. But we managed.
Look, didn't just frustrate you that your power came back on a little after the show ended.
Straight after the show. Not just a little after, straight after the show, the thing comes on. And I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch.
Shame.
Witchcraft.
I'm telling you. So anyway, there were a lot of messages and emails that I picked up on after the show about Sia's portrait that he wants to put up, you know, which we spoke about with Pumi and everybody else on the Tuesday. And then people have actually been sending us examples of what they think Sia might like. And the one picture, which we all thought was hilarious, was a picture of Harry and Meghan and the Queen on the balcony of Buckingham Palace. But instead of the Queen, they've superimposed Oprah's face onto the Queen. They've superimposed Sia's face onto Harry, and then they've kept Meghan.
It's my new favorite Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
I want to give credit. It was Robin who said that to us. Thank you, Robin. I think this is I found it now. This is perfect.
Geen skam is hoe Afrikaners dit sê nie. Not no skam nie. Wat die fok, Gareth. All right, calm yourself down. You see, there's a problem with Afrikaans people. They get very pure. Let's say, there's no need for you to get purist on us, all right?
Jeez. Hey, you're in Centurion. Keep it real. Keep your head on a swivel.
Hey, do you know that Centurion, I found out when I was talking to JJ Cornish, who, interestingly enough, will be our guest on the Burning Platform this morning. He's always good value. He said to me that Centurion has the highest disposable income per capita in the country. How did that happen? Centurion, you go to the shops here, you see people, the way they dress, you think these people have no money.
Oh.
See a space right now?
Yeah.
Are you planning on shopping in Centurion now?
I should.
They have
apparently find some people.
The people of Centurion have the highest per capita income. That's according to JJ Cornish. I'll ask him about it next on the Burning Platform, and you can hear it from the horse's mouth.
So to break it down very simply, Centurion has the best potential of blesses.
Perhaps.
Huh?
It may well have.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, you need someone who will just buy champagne for you on a regular Tuesday.
Yeah, you do. Well, it was funny. So we had our episode of So What Now last night, and Ridi Tlabi was on with Jeremy Mansfield and Kayas Tole. And Ridi did mention how she likes a glass of wine about three times during the conversation.
So I mean, you also
did you notice that? I thought, you know, Ridi, the stuff you do say, sometimes you're going to take you at your word. Poor Ridi, she's... If anyone knows of a good wine supplier, I think she's too shy to ask, but maybe Miss Ridi Tlabi has
but she hinted well.
Oh, yeah. She hinted it very well. She's like, I could really do with a glass of wine at Tash's. And then she repeated
it. And it's my choice as Ridi Tlabi. If I have wine at night.
I need wine is basically what she's going with. She did say it a lot, Hesia.
Yeah.
But now did you know. Not tell her that tough time never lasts? Or what was...
That guy is so in my head at the moment.
He's the best.
God, I love him. He's the greatest. All right. Quickly, Pinky's got another problem before we get to the headlines. Her problem is that the kids in the complex that she lives in, that she's just moved into, have decided to play right at her front door.
My goodness. I think the biggest mistake I made was when I moved in, I entertained them. I was already
How old are these kids?
Yeah, that was a bad move.
Like, From seven to 12.
That's horrible.
Oh,
that's
my
horrible.
Goodness.
Yeah, you've made a rod for your own back. But I have a solution for you. And it's not going to be an easy one, but you've got to be strong enough to pull this off, right?
Okay.
Okay. Listen carefully to me. I did this when they threatened to put up a playground, like a jungle gym or whatever, in front of my house. I may have spoken about this on the show before. What you want to do is you want to say, listen, you call up the complex management and you say to them, listen, guys, I believe that there are a lot of children in this complex. You sound like you're not entirely sure. When they told me they were going to put up this jungle gym, I said, I have heard rumors that you're going to put up a little playground for the kids. Mm-hmm. I said, I just want to be very honest with you because it's in the interest of the safety of these children that I do have a couple of friends who are registered sex offenders. Of course, this is not true. So I know this is potentially quite damaging to my reputation, but the payoff is worth it. So you say, look, in the interests of community safety, it behooves me to let you know that I would have to put up signs because I occasionally invite these sex offender friends of mine around. I need to put a sign up that warns people that there are pedophiles in the area. So if you're going to put the playground in front of my house, it's only right that I have the ability to warn people. Thank you very much. And, that was a phone conversation. Well, did they cancel that playground idea in front of my house quickly?
That is sensational.
Isn't that great?
It's brilliant.
Oh, I'm a bit worried about that.
I'm scarred by that.
I'm sure that they figured out that I was talking nonsense at some point, but it was too late because there's no playground in front of my house. And if they ever tried again, I'll have a better story for next time. So, Pinky, I would put up some kind of a sign.
Okay.
Or I would phone up the people who manage the complex and let them do the dirty work for you of spreading the rumor that, Pinky knows a lot of very dangerous people. Sometimes gangsters come to visit her.
But you see, the problem is that they're not allowing any visitors into the complex right now. So I'm going to have to be that sex offender.
Ah, well, then you got to take that one on the chin.
Sometimes you just have to pay the piper.
Exactly.
Here's something that I don't think you want. This, I don't think you want to hear this, but this might be the truth, Pinky. These are, I'm assuming, boys mostly.
No, it's girls. No,
oh, it's girls. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Little
but
girls.
I mean, that changes things. I'd be happy if it was boys, right?
No, I thought it was probably, these boys who see you, this young-looking girl.
Young-looking? Did you just say young-looking?
Hold on. So what's the reality? Young-looking as opposed to actually?
Sia, you say some horrible things to people. Wow. Not even realizing it.
This young girl, this young woman.
Okay.
Who lives alone, and like at 12, they think they stand a chance with you. So this might be their way of crushing on you. But it's girls as well.
Can I tell you why girls are much worse? Because they screech. Little girls screech when they're playing with each other. And then they make that high-pitched, you know what I'm talking about, that high-pitched noise.
They only communicate in screeches.
Oh, it's the worst. God, I hate that noise.
That maybe I should smoke some weed right outside the door.
Ah, good thinking, you see.
And I was like, maybe that will work.
Mm-hmm. No.
Because they're going to be running home and telling their parents about it. And I can imagine the parents are going to be like, don't go there anymore.
Yeah.
Or you might be giving them their first experience of being high. Like, woo, playing soccer today was so fun.
No, you got to do that weed thing. That's a good solution. I like that. I applaud your ingenuity.
I'll let you guys know how it goes.
Yeah, please. That sounds like a good plan. All right, we've got to get to headlines. Do you want to hear what's happening in the world?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
All right, these are five things that you need to know today. First of all, the court has dismissed the bid to close schools. This is Musi Maimane's new thing because he's still got to stay relevant somehow. The High Court in Pretoria has dismissed the bid to halt the reopening of schools. Challenge was brought by the One South Africa movement led by former DA leader Musi Maimane. The organization says children should not continue going to class as the country grapples with COVID-19. Now, I don't know what Musi's thing is here, but they want us to return to level 4 of the lockdown. He also added the legal team will study the judgment before making a decision to appeal. But he says it's a disappointing judgment because ultimately we fight to make sure all schools are safe. safe? How? Children themselves are not at risk of this disease like adults are. First of all, that's the science. So I don't know who you're talking to, Musi, which doctors you've been going to. But COVID is not as dangerous to kids as it is to adults. Therefore, the only danger that there might be is to the teachers. And teachers, since they are adult human beings and they're responsible for children, can probably be responsible for themselves. Put on gloves, put on masks, make sure that they don't cough all over everybody or get coughed on. If you're a teacher and you're concerned, I'm sure that you could speak to the school and say, I'm worried about my health because I have comorbidities. I'm not going to come to work. There are different arrangements that can be made. But why Musi Maimane thinks it's his responsibility to save all of our schools, when there are also many parents who do want their children to go to school, not just because they want their lives back, but because they've got work to do, Musi, to keep the economy going. The more I hear this guy speak, the more delighted I am that he's no longer the leader of a major political party.
What's interesting to me...
He's talking through one of his other orifices most of the time, and it isn't his mouth.
Oh, dear.
His nose?
Wow.
Not even close, yeah. Go to the other end.
Around the corner. What's interesting to me is, when did they take interest in kids' safety at schools? Because yeah, we know... And we know who they mean. It's a political pander. It's not in the middle of Sandton and where most of us who are listening to this went to school. We know the sect of society he's trying to pander to.
Yeah.
When did you start caring about those kids' safety? Because in regular life, when you should have been doing your job, all politicians are doing an atrocious job. We know our children are basically going to prisons.
Correct.
En masse. So don't do this.
And
come
to
on.
Be and to be abused, by the way, by some of these horrible teachers. We know that the teachers are often the ones who are making these high school girls pregnant. We know that the other pupils are not necessarily, you know, what would you call them, salubrious people. So all of this is very, very curious, and I'm surprised that Musi Maimane has appointed himself a spokesperson for what, One South Africa, whatever that is. An embarrassment. Really, he's an embarrassment. The municipalities of South Africa, this is great news, I'm sure you're all thrilled to hear it, have lost a shocking 32 billion rand due to corruption and irregular expenditure. Do you know how much we could do in this country with 32 billion rand? You know how many schools we could build, how many COVID beds we could make available to people who are sick with this disease that we've stopped our entire economy to try and fight? Do you know how many people we could pay to keep them in employment for a year on 32 billion rand? And by the way, that is an increase of around 7 billion rand on the previous year, which is bad enough.
Mm.
These are people just stealing. They are people who are professionally stealing.
You know what the issue is here? The real fundamental issue is that they keep telling us democracy. Democracy. They keep saying that, right? They love it. They beat that to death. There is no democracy where there is corruption. There is no democracy where there is corruption and governance. We need to be very clear about that. We're living in this very scary state with these guys, because that's not a shock to us anymore. I'm not even Cyril surprised anymore. I'm not even Cyril
shocked.
You're not even
shocked. Cyril surprised.
I'm not even Cyril shocked anymore.
Sure.
There's sad. Cyril surprised and shocked as Shista.
Okay, well, that's what's going on. Kimi Makwetu, who is the, what is he, the Auditor General, right? He's the one who's...
Sorry, yeah? I know it's a serious story. How do you spell his first name?
Kimi, K-I-M-I.
Okay. It's not a name for a...
Well, in a story about... Man. In a 32 billion rand theft story, that's the thing that bothers you?
I know.
So he has outlined how funds were allocated to municipalities and how they were spent. He says administrative and governance lapses lead to weak accountability. Findings revealed there's an overall decline in the quality of municipal financial records. And the audit report also shows an increase in irregular, unauthorized, and wasteful expenditure. So the Auditor General's office has the power to hold individuals responsible. Good. Let's please, I want to see... 1,000 people, because there's at least 1,000 people who've done this in the various municipalities in this country, in jail by Christmas. Even if they're people that we thought we liked. There might be very nice people who work in your municipality, wherever you may live. and they've been, you know, putting their face on a poster once every 4 years to get you to vote for them. Well, now it's time for them to go to jail and to have their face on a different poster, a most wanted poster, because they are stealing from the people of South Africa. You sack of stinking shit that has been doing this in a municipality. And we're going to find you, and you're going to be locked up, and you will end up poorer than you were before you stole the money. So get ready for a whole lot of discomfort. And I hope that Kimi Makwetu means business when he says he's going to hold individuals responsible, because we need to see some action here. Do you think people will carry on stealing if they see like 1,000 people go to jail before the end of the year for corruption at a municipal level? You better believe they'll stop. I was thinking, if you gave me control, and I wouldn't be the kind of person who'd run for office, but if you did, I'd sort all this shit out in a month. I'd say I'd do like Sharia law just for a month. I'd say, you know what? This is pretty hectic. We've got a lot of theft going on. $32 billion is not a small amount of money. So if you are caught with your hand in the till in government, you will have one of those hands cut off. You will walk around the rest of your life with one hand, which means that you, A, limit severely the ability of that person to earn a living by using both hands to do things. They're effectively disabled for life. But also it's a signal to everyone else in the country that if you steal, this is what happens to you. Please believe me when I tell you that there is no way that corruption will carry on at the levels that it does if you have a couple of people walking around without hands because they were caught stealing. Trust me, I only have to do this for a month. I'm not a fan of Sharia law. I think it's barbaric. I think it's backward. I think it's stupid. But in this case, a little symbolism might go a long way. If Nancy Pelosi can kneel in a kente cloth and people think that that's going to end racism, then you better believe a few hands missing will start getting people to stop being greedy and thieving.
So I know you're big on personal responsibility. When does it become us as the citizenry to say no more and we must do what it takes? Because the law, the rule of law is one thing. But when do we say as the citizens, nah, we're good now. And maybe we need to start heading towards...
What are you talking about? Kangaroo courts?
Or more martial. They won't leave through the law,
you see the
we
problem.
As a citizenry, do you worry...
You see, these are the people who are in charge of the organs of state, right?
Sure.
So if you're going to talk about systemic anything, you need to look at the people who actually are in control of the system, and those people are the ones who make the laws and who are meant to enforce the laws. And in this country, that's the ANC, largely. There are other parties involved, but it's largely the ANC. And one of the things about living in a civilized society, and it's a term you use often, is that you should be able to trust those systems which we've all built through our constitution that we've agreed are the things that we need in our society to make things work. And you need to figure out why they are not able to apply the law. And we know Shamila Batoy is a major problem right now because nothing's happening there. We know that the criminal justice system as a whole is very messy and porous, and there's a lot of corruption that goes on there too. We need to look at how we appoint judges. We need to look at how we appoint legislators. We need to have a higher standard for all of these people. But up to now, it's just really been about that word, democracy, which you mentioned earlier, which effectively is like a popularity contest. Yeah. And if enough people from a certain party win the popularity contest, all the other stuff goes out of the window. And that's what we're seeing here. Like the ANC is actually winking and nodding to corruption. You heard what Popo Molefe said just this week at the State Capture Commission. He said, yeah, the top six of the ANC absolutely knew what was going on at PRASA. Oh. Absolutely they knew. Now those top six are still ensconced in the machinery of government. Right now, one of those top six is our president, the top six that winked and nodded at the PRASA corruption. He goes on TV in an Imbizo last night, and he starts telling us again to wash our hands and, you know, talking to us like we're absolute children. And maybe we are, because we've got a president who's like that, and you get the leaders you deserve. And you see him on screen and you think, you are a billionaire. And you're not a billionaire because you came up with a great idea or a great product or you worked really hard. You're a billionaire because you have benefited from a system that was put in place in order to help ordinary black business people to get a little bit ahead of the curve. A system that was specifically created with black entrepreneurship in mind, with opening up the economy to more people, with a little bit of a redistribution of the opportunities that society affords to formerly advantaged people, and now we should afford to formerly disadvantaged people. Now, as dangerous and as slippery a slope as that may be, because once you open that up, you do open it up to interpretation and corruption and, you know, what is advantaged and must you hold the children responsible for the sins of the father and all that kind of thing. And is it, in effect, racist to have policies like that? Because it's a good discussion to have. But no, we've got a president who personally benefited to the tune of a couple of billion. Okay, he's at least in dollars worth about $600 million. And he didn't really work for that. So the whole thing is rotten through and through. So what do you mean when you say that the people must take responsibility? Do we want lawlessness where people actually drag municipal officers who have stolen money out of their houses and necklace them in the street? Because I don't know if I want that.
Well, you suggested Sharia law. I mean, that's a very close neighbor to that. But I just think we need to develop an appetite where corruption's not an option anymore. Now, clearly, whatever we're doing now is not working. What's the next level? And I think it's an uncomfortable conversation, but I'd love to hear what people think. How do we put the pressure on properly? Because right now, they're not hearing us. And Gareth, you have to make people uncomfortable, which is why I know people hate protests. But you can't protest in the way that makes the power comfortable, because these guys, they're taking the mickey, as the British might say. Mm. They're really starting to take the piss.
Yeah, they're taking the piss. I agree with you. Listen, I'm as frustrated as you are. I just don't know what the solution is. And I offered almost, you know, a tongue in cheek that if it were up to me and I were in charge, and, you know, luckily for you, I'll never be in charge.
Yeah, jeez.
Because I'd say in a month you could sort this out, and then we can go back to the rule of law. Ordinary law, the Constitution and everything else. But we suspend that for a little while. And we take out the fury of the South African people, which needs to – there's a bloodlust going on at the moment. People are seeing all this theft happening. They see no retribution. And it's going to make them more and more angry. The presidency, in other news, has rubbished reports that State Security Minister Ayanda Dlodlo's planned visit to Botswana – is related to a matter between the government and the president's sister-in-law. Now, who believes that?
Only the presidency.
Yeah, no one else believes that, because Bridget Motsepe Khadebe gave an interview, which was probably one of the worst interviews I've ever seen. She's a woman who comes from a wealthy family. She has very, very well-educated and serious people around her all the time, and no one sat her down and said, honey, don't do this interview. You know, like when we saw that interview with Prince Andrew,
yes,
which was so shit, do you remember? And it sounded like this guy was so out of touch with reality, and he genuinely thought he could just pull one over on the people of the world with his friend Epstein being dead. And well, turns out that Bridget Motsepe Khadebe is just as bad. She pulled one of these interviews, and you actually have to watch it to believe it. She is terrible in this interview. And finally, Volvo has recalled 2 million cars over a seatbelt failure. Apparently, they've said they were recalling 2.2 million cars globally. The effectiveness of their seatbelts has been called into question. The issue with the cars relates to a steel cable connected to the front seats, which under certain conditions over time suffer from fatigue. So you need to talk to Volvo. They're recalling 2,183,701 cars, and they will fit a new component in place of this faulty wire. The models are an S60, V60, XC60, V70, XC70, and S80, produced between 2006 and last year, 2019.
I went to Volvo last year. I was in Sweden, and I went to the factory, and one of the things the guy told me is how, believe it or not, the integrity is everything to them. And he said they once recalled a car because the back seat was like half a degree too far forward. So it wasn't even like a real safety thing. Yeah, that's the kind of standards they hold themselves to. A phenomenal phenomenal company.
Well, talking about phenomenal companies, Revix has been a part of our Cliff Central universe for a little while now, and it's time to get Sean Sanders back on and talk to him about what's happening, because the world is changing, and as we know, we're slowly starting to come out of lockdown. The stock market seems completely disconnected from people's real harsh economic reality. But Sean has got his eye on the prize, and he is helping people to find ways to invest money more sensibly. Revix is an intelligent investment platform that allows anyone anywhere to build a diversified portfolio or a bundle of assets in just a few clicks. And I thought we'd get Sean on this week to catch up and to find out what's going on with Revix, but more especially to get some answers from him, because we now get people asking us questions on the WhatsApp line, for example, and he is in a good position to answer them. So how are you, Sean?
Good morning, Gareth. Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. How are you doing?
Good, 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 good. So can we start off, because I was very disturbed earlier this week to read about Zimbabwe and what's going on there. And the reason it's disturbing to read about what's going on there is because this affects millions of people. And you think in a world where, you know, people are able to move money around a lot more freely than we ever have before, in a world where there are options, this government has basically shut down mobile money. And this is frightening for people who depend on that mobile money to live. Their currency is already worthless. Inflation is sky high. It has become one of the most unpleasant places in the world to live. And you don't want that happening to your finances, whether you live in New Zealand or Australia or South Africa or Kazakhstan or Zimbabwe, right?
No, 100%. I mean, so here's a little bit of context. So on Friday, the government of Zimbabwe, they shut down the stock exchange. They prevented the stock exchange from trading. So, hey, pension fund, like, no trading for you today. I mean, don't care about your stakeholders. And then if that wasn't enough, they went and halted all mobile money services. And authorities were apparently investigating illegal activities around foreign exchange dealing. So in Zimbabwe, mobile wallets make up 85% of transaction volumes. So, you know, to let that sink in, 85% of money is moved using digital wallets, and that money is frozen.
Many people in South Africa actually send mobile money to their relatives in Zimbabwe so that they can eke out some existence.
Exactly. I mean, the government's obviously a centralized, obviously pathetically useless institution, which has already wrecked the economy. I mean, Zimbabwe's already the poster child of failed countries, right?
Yeah.
And it's sad because Zimbabwe's got a 92%, or it's got 92% of its population that are unemployed. Its inflation rate was a staggering 786% in May. So, you know, what do you do when your government fails you and your hard-earned money is frozen? I mean, people turn to alternative stores of wealth and ways to move money around.
So what has happened? What is still available as a choice to the people of Zim?
So you've seen a big move into gold, as you would expect. Yeah. People want to protect their wealth, and gold's a good option for that. And another big move, which has been a little bit alternative to, you know, more traditional investments like gold or silver, have been a move to Bitcoin.
Oh, really?
And you've seen this. And this is a real life, and it's an incredibly valuable real-life use case of a non-sovereign, decentralized digital currency. So that's not run by any single entity or government, and it can be sent and received over the internet. And I mean, Bitcoin, people have been saying for such a long time that Bitcoin has no fundamental value. And now you have millions of people, not just in Zimbabwe, but in Argentina, in Turkey, in Nigeria, in Venezuela, that are turning to Bitcoin as a store of wealth and a means to transfer value. And this is a major use case for Bitcoin. We are seeing it today. I mean, this is the use case that everyone's been waiting for such a long time. When emerging market currencies fail, one by one, what do they turn to? Because dollars become incredibly difficult to obtain. Pounds are not available. Mm-hmm. So what do you turn to? And that's where we're seeing a big move into the Bitcoin, or into Bitcoin and in the crypto space.
That's incredible. So Zim actually turns out to be precisely the use case that everyone has been looking for. Who knew?
Yeah, it's super interesting. Super interesting. But I mean, it's sad at the same time.
Now, you mentioned inflation there, and you've spoken before about how inflation is going to be big as a driver for returns in Bitcoin and gold. But inflation is pretty low right now in South Africa. So does owning Bitcoin and gold still make sense?
Well, you said something important there, which is inflation is low right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, investing is about looking into the crystal ball of the future.
Right.
And If you're looking at the amount, and we've spoken about this, right? How much money has been printed over the last while? Governments have racked up a lot of debt. They're quite irresponsible citizens if you had to compare them to everyday people.
Yes.
And gold tends to benefit from widespread government and central bank stimulus because it's considered a hedge against inflation and currency debasement.
Right.
And Bitcoin, due to its many similarities with gold, is expected to behave much the same. So when you see record-breaking stimulus, you know, I always mention stats. I'm a stats guy. I love stats.
Sure.
So here's something that's a little scary. You've got $26 trillion of federal debt in the US. Now, that's like funny money, right? No one really understands even how many zeros that is. So this figure was only $350 billion back in 1968, which means that the debt's grown 74 times in 52 years. Now, again, what does that really mean? That doesn't really mean all that much. But that's the sort of debt where if you started paying $1,000 today at this very moment, mm-hmm. and you paid $1,000 every second, it would still take you over 800 years to pay back that debt. So this money isn't going to be paid back, right? I mean, let's get real. Like this is the new reality. It's not being paid back. And it's these sort of numbers where only mathematicians really appreciate them. So wow. Does owning Bitcoin and gold hedges against the current financial system still make sense? Yes, more than ever.
Absolutely. You say it's never going to be paid back. I mean, that's interesting. So apart from being a curiosity, a financial instrument of some curiosity, why is debt such a problem for countries? Because they pay interest, and who are they paying that interest to?
Well, generally speaking, you've got pension funds, endowments, really big institutions, a lot of hedge funds as well in the space that buy up government bonds. Mm-hmm. And those government bonds is essentially government debt. And the problem is not what we have today, where you've got really low interest rates and tons of debt around the world. The problem is when interest rates start creeping up and all of a sudden they're not paying 0.03%, or in some developed economies, even paying negative interest rates. So people are actually paying to keep their money with the governments or with the central banks. The problem is when those interest rates start moving up to 0.5%, uh-huh. 1%, 1.5%, which are still very low by historical standards. I mean, if the interest rates had to move back up to 5%, I mean, you would never be able to pay back that debt. It just would not become possible. And that's the risk. And I think that's why we've said at Revix that it probably makes some sense owning a bit of Bitcoin, owning a bit of gold in your portfolio, because, hell, there is a very big problem in the financial system with debt. And the problem isn't what we're seeing today. It's the same as, you know, you can take on a ton of debt and the problem doesn't lie with your finances right now. It's when you have to pay back that debt and you default. And there's the repercussions from that standpoint.
All right. So in other words, it's still a good time for Bitcoin. It's still a good time for gold. And you've given us two cases exactly where that is practical and sensible. So how can we get involved with Revix? Let's say there's someone listening this morning who's never heard of Sean Saunders or Revix before. Give them the play-by-play.
Sure. So at Revix, we allow you to buy Bitcoin, gold, and a variety of different crypto bundles. So those are essentially baskets of cryptocurrency that are already pre-made for you. And you can get started with as little as 500 Rand. And if you're not based in South Africa, we still accept customers from 76 different countries around the world. You can deposit in pounds. You can also deposit in cryptocurrency, mm-hmm. because, you know, naturally we want to kind of grow this ecosystem. And it's as simple as 123. Really, you register an account, you become verified. It can take 2 minutes to get verified, and you can get on your way to investing. So it's really as simple as that. Investing in gold is quite interesting. We have a tokenized gold offering, and people hear tokenized gold and they go, whoa, what is that? Tokenized gold is really gold that is held in a vault in London that is then broken up into a bunch of tokens. So just like you break a company up into a bunch of shares, mm-hmm. you break that gold bar into a bunch of tokens and you're able to invest in them. And that's physical gold held in a London vault on your behalf.
Fantastic. Sean, thank you very much. If people want to know more, you can go to Revix. They're on social media on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Revix Invest. And you can sign up, as Sean just told you, for free, verify your ID, add funds, select the bundle of your choice, and you can head over to revix.com for more information. Always good to catch up with you. Have an excellent day.
Great, Gareth. Thank you. Have a good week.
Very good. That's Sean Sanders, founder and boss at Revix. And he's also someone who we rely on from time to time to get some really interesting and useful financial information. God knows there's no shortage of useful information we could do with at the moment, because everybody's confused as to what in the hell is going on, right? I mean, yeah. Bulelo, you know this.
Poverty.
Oh.
That was always Thabo Mbeki's favorite word. He would have it in almost every speech, because actually it is our biggest problem.
No, damn.
Yeah, his right. biggest problem was whiskey. Something else, though.
What?
Yeah.
Was it
whiskey in a glass?
Hey, don't you speak ill of I am an African.
There are no saints, Sia. I hate to break it to you. Mbulelo makes a good point. There are no saints. All right, so listen, everybody. We got to get to the Burning Platform, which is taking place this morning, as every Thursday morning, featuring Canthan Pillay, featuring JJ Cornish. I'm very, very excited to have this this panel, this particular list of guests on the Burning Platform today. We haven't had JJ on for a little while, and he's always good value. So I hope you're ready for a big morning on the Burning Platform. That is coming up next. CliffCentral.com. You can get hold of us on 079-748-2090. We'll get to your messages too, especially if you have questions for Canthan or for JJ or for me. Bring it on. CliffCentral.com.